This is the Should Have Bet More podcast, presented by Goal Boys Network. Here's your host, Will Hill.
Welcome to the Should Have Bet More podcast, presented by Goal Boys. Coming up on the show, Dave Ross from VSiN will join us. We will talk Major League Baseball playoffs. Robert Saleh fired, Mets win, Yankees with a game three, and we have a quadruple header here on Wednesday, and that is where we'll start. I'll get to Saleh here in a minute. But the story coming into Wednesday here, and as I'm recording this, Dodgers and Padres are playing. Padres are all over the Dodgers. Dodgers playing bad defense. So if that score holds, it will be 2-1 Padres. And if things hold the way they're going, if the Padres continue to play well and the Mets do what it looks like they're going to do, we could have a rematch of that wild card round a couple of years ago, 2022, because the Mets continue to be just an incredible story. Let the game get away on Sunday in game two. But they were all over Nola in game three. Manaea pitched a tremendous game. Both teams hit the ball hard really early. Mets really could have had more to show for it, and so could the Phillies. But the Mets get contributions up and down the lineup as they tend to do, and they head into this Wednesday here, game four, with a 2-1 lead. Now, look, they are not out of the woods yet, because unless if they don't get game four, and game four is a toss-up, it is Suarez against Jose Quintana. Phillies minus 120, Mets are even money. If they don't get game four, they're in big trouble because they're heading back to Philly for game five against Wheeler. Now, I know they already beat them, but doing that twice in a week is not going to be easy. But I think the Mets do get it done here. I've been talking about it for weeks now. There's just something special with this team. Karma, magic, call it whatever you want. It's a good lineup up and down. Lindor gives you something. Alonso has been unlocked since that home run against Milwaukee on Thursday night. They piece together the bullpen. They get enough starting pitching from the Quintanas and the Manaeas and the Severinos of the world. And they are one win away from heading to the NLCS, the Major League Baseball version of the Final Four. Boy, just thinking about where they were all summer and how quickly things can change and how you can expect the unexpected. What an incredible run this has been for the Mets. And you're at the point, look, if you lose this game and you lost in five, you'd be devastated. You're up 2-1. There's almost a little expectation with the Mets now that makes you nervous. But, even the losses for the Mets the past couple weeks to the Brewers on game two, they had a lead late. To the Phillies in that game two, up 3 in the sixth inning. The Mets, even the games they've lost, now they could have lost the Brewer game in game three, but the Mets have had a chance to win just about all of these games, and I do think they finish it off here on Wednesday. As for the other games, the Yankees here are in some trouble, I'm afraid. I think they'll life on the line. I think they probably find a way to win 2 out of 3. I don't have any confidence. I think, they had a chance to really do some damage and put this thing out of reach Monday in game two. Reagans walks the first two guys, can't find the plate, judges up a ball to the moon there. One of those opposite field homers, whatever, a double, and it's 2-0. It's 3-0. I don't think the Royals are getting off the mat and winning that game, and it's 2-0 Yankees. The Yankees are going to win the series. Yankees can't get a big hit. Judge has done nothing. Soto hasn't done much. And the Yankees eventually score first, but the Royals come roaring back with 4 runs. Those 4 runs hang up, and now it is Schmidt for the Yankees versus Lugo for the Royals. Boy, if you're the Yankees, I think you probably sign right now for a split and just go back home for game five, although game five would mean same pitching matchup as game two, and that's Reagans versus Rodon, where Kansas City has the better pitcher. So, look, I like the Yankees coming into this series, and I said the Royals at plus money was probably the way to go for game two. So I don't know why I would jump off now, but it's not a Yankee team like we talked about all summer. It's just not a Yankee team that you have a lot of faith in. You have a lot of trust in, because there's just a lot of holes. If Judge and Soto don't do it, nobody does it. Now, maybe Judge goes on the road and he can relax a little bit. The fan, being away from the fan kind of calms him down. But boy, sports culture, the media sports culture is not kind to people. As great as Judge is, if you're as great as Judge is and you don't do it in the playoffs, that is going to be a rough offseason. If this is a 3-for-20, 3-for-21 series for Judge and, a couple singles and a bunch of strikeouts, this is not going to go well. He's going to hear about it. It's going to stick to him for a long time, but we're a long way from that. Maybe Judge hits one early in game three or hits a big one in game four, and maybe Judge gets off the schneid. I think the Yankees probably get it done, but boy, you can tell my voice, just not a lot of confidence. And you got Cole in game four, but Cole wasn't good in game one. So if you're the Yankees, just, hey, I think if you could somehow get a split and get it home for game five and hope the crowd gets you home and go from there. As far as the other series, I think the Tigers are in good shape. I mean, Skubal's been so dominant. All you need to do is basically get a split in your home games against Detroit. And it's hard to handicap these games because we don't even know who Detroit's pitching. Cleveland's pitching, Alex Cobb was a total journeyman. But if you're Detroit, you get a five, you get a split. Usually you don't want to play for the split and just say, hey, be happy to go to game five on the road. But game five on the road means Scooble, and Scooble just is basically unhittable. And that's a scenario we'd sign up for. So I know I like Cleveland going in. I think Detroit's in good shape to get this done in the American League and go to an ALCS. And my goodness, if it is ever, and we're a long way from there, if it is ever a Mets-Tigers World Series, you're talking about something that is just one of the more unlikely events for both those teams to make the World Series. I can't even imagine what number you could have got on that exact World Series. June, July, August. This isn't even like, not even talking like 1,000 to 1. You're talking thousands, plural to one, 5,000 to 1, 10,000. I can't even imagine what the odds were. But I mean, most books probably didn't even have it on the board because who would even think one of these teams would make the playoffs? Never mind both of them. Never mind both of them making a run. Just incredible all-time stuff. And I do think the Tigers are in good shape here to, you know, to get a split and to go back and win it with Scooble in game five. Before we get to Dave, Jets have fired Robert Saleh. Long overdue. I mean, they've never looked like a well-coached team under him going back, you know, the 3-4 years he's been the coach. I guess it's, 21, 22, 23, and now into 24. So 3+ years. He's 20 and 36. They're not well-coached. It looks kind of soft on the players. It wasn't overly impressive in Hard Knocks. If you're the Jets, he didn't get rid of Hackett, though, so it's it was kind of a half measure. Hackett, the offense is much a problem as anything. The defense has been okay, but the Ulbrich is going to replace him. We'll see if that gives him a boost. I would think it would. These new coaches usually get a boost or give a boost to the team when a move happens like this in season. And boy, I can't think of too many times a in season move has happened where a team fires its coach when they have a positive point differential. I mean, usually you fire a coach because you're 1-6 and you're getting buried. Usually it's not, hey, we're outscoring our opponents. Not that point differential is really that important 5 games in here, but it is unusual. But I think it's a good move, long overdue. I am surprised it happened with the timing of it. I thought they'd maybe give him the Buffalo game, but hey, if you're the Jets, you look at glass half full. As bad as things have gone, you fire your coach. It's looked bad here. It's looked bad there. If you could somehow find a way to win this game and go to 3-3, you have a tiebreaker over Buffalo and you're back in first place, and maybe you have Adams here in the next week or so, and things can look a lot differently. It's not going to solve everything. Rodgers still looks old when he gets hit, and he's gotten hit a lot these last couple weeks, the knee, the ankle. This is not going to be a cure-all to change the coach, but maybe gives him a boost, and I do think it was worth a shot here for the Jets, who are +2.5 right now against the Bills at home. That's a Monday night game, and not an exaggeration to say, hey, they might be playing for their season here, because you lose this, you're 2-4. Can you really go like 8-3 with this team and make the playoffs? Now, with the way the Mets and the Tigers have, you know, defied the odds, you can't say anything's impossible, because Jets going 8-3 is obviously but more likely than that. But you get the idea. It's going to be a hard hole for the Jets to dig out of if they are 2-4 after this game. So we will discuss all of this and more with Dave Ross. That is next. This is the Should Have Bet More podcast. All right, we are back. Should Have Bet More podcast. We have a quadruple header here on Wednesday. One of those games will include the New York Mets, one win away from the NLCS. Nobody better to discuss that than our next guest. You can hear on VSiN, and he was actually on with us Memorial Day weekend to discuss the Mets. And my, how things have changed. It is Dave Ross. Dave, what is going on? How are you feeling?
I'm feeling great. I will say this, Will. I don't want it to seem like this is front running. This hat, okay, is basically, I've had it. What did I pay for it? This is $37 for this hat. Okay. I've never worn it because it's one of those I just keep in posterity. So it's like flat build, everything. I just keep it on my mantle. But for rare occasions like this, I'm going to wear it just for your show. Should Have Bet More, because we're one win away from being in a position where we can hedge on a 60-1 win the pennant bet for the Metropolitans. But that's what I want to discuss with you, because you're like a therapy partner for me whenever we do shows together, whether it's on VSiN or just on your show and Should Have Bet More, or whether it's Bet on Chicago. I don't want to hedge. I don't want to hedge, Will, because that's how confident I am right now that not only are we going to have a redux of 2015, we're going to have a redux of 86. That's the way I'm feeling right now, Will Hill.
What a run. I mentioned I had you on. I can remember when it was. It was that Sunday of Memorial Day weekend. I think they happened to win that day, but that was just about rock bottom, end of May, early June, 10 games Frankie under, 11 games under. We were trying to get rid of Lindor, trade people. It was rock bottom. It really was. I mean, could you ever, I mean, I know you made the bet. I'm curious when you did make the bet on the NL future. How did this happen? Did you ever see anything like this occurring here?
You know, it's funny because the date you're referring to is they had played well. They'd won the first couple in L.A., and then I think they got shut out. And that's the day that Alvarez went down with a thumb injury, if you remember. And I said, season's over. Like, Alvarez was our guy that before Lindor, we were never even thinking about Frankie being an MVP candidate, right? He was not playing that well. It was Alvarez. He was the Frankie that gave the team juice. Then he was gone and initially looked like it was going to be for the whole year. And I remember saying to you, the season's over. And then we're doing shows in the summertime. And you said to me, "How you know you can get the Mets 5-1 to make the playoffs." And I laughed at you.
Yeah.
I'm like, come on, Will. What are you trying to do to me? I can't get emotionally invested at 5-1 when I'm sitting on a plus $1.85 to make the playoffs from before the year started. Why would I ever want that much better number at 5-1 when there's no hope? And then we started to really look at it, you and I, at kind of the landscape of the National League. And I started to think, well, if they get in, who really scares you? And at that point, the Dodgers clearly scared you. The Phillies clearly scared you. But the Braves were dropping like flies. Padres hadn't made their move yet. D-backs hadn't made a move yet. And I went, okay, you know, if they play Philadelphia, if they happen to see them down the road, it's a rivalry game. It's up by 95. Anything can happen. And okay, yeah, the Dodgers lineup scares you. But, you know, they started having pitching injuries. And you started to really think that maybe there's a flyer chance that I should play the Mets at 60-1 to win the pennant. I got 125 to win the World Series, 60-1 to win the pennant. But here's what still bothers me. At that same time, this is in July, maybe first week of July. At that same time, the Padres were 60-1 to win the pennant. And I didn't bet it.
Wow.
And if I had Padres and Mets in pocket.
Yeah, and as we're recording, Dodgers and Padres are about to start playing right now, so keep an
Could
eye on that.
Can you even imagine?
I will say we're not there yet. We do have a game four, as I mentioned. Mets up 2-1.
That's right.
Man, I know this is all gravy. If the Mets ever don't close this out and they lose the Wednesday game and lose in five, you'd eventually get over it and say, hey, great run. But now hope can be the worst thing sometimes, where now there's a little expectation. You expect to almost close it out. They are slight underdog. They're even money in game four. It is Suarez against Quintana, Philly minus 120.
Great.
Do you think they close it out in game four?
I do. But again, I kind of thought they'd win, game two against Milwaukee. I thought they'd win game two against Philadelphia. It's a weird feeling, isn't it? That like you almost feel like the Mets are going to win every game, not win the series. You feel like they're going to win every game. And they've been in or should have won every game, but
they could. That's a great point. They really could have won every game. I mean, they were up Milwaukee for what was it, 3-2 in the upper run in the eighth against Milwaukee, up 3 runs against Philly. I mean, their only losses they could have easily won. It's a great point.
And that's the bizarre thing about it. Like I didn't expect that. You know, like I didn't expect them to really feel confident. Like today in the Manaea start on Tuesday, I went, yeah, he's our ace now. Like that's the way Manaea has pitched. And Quintana's been, if you look at the numbers, he's been as good as any pitcher in the game in the last month and a half.
Been great.
That's how good Q's been, right? So I expect Quintana to pitch well. Can he pitch as well as Manaea did? We'll find it out. You know, the squeaky wheels have been a little bit Edwin Diaz and Phil Maton out of that bullpen. But you know that we're still, if the Mets have a lead late, it's probably going to be Sugar Diaz for 6 outs if need be. That's just the way this, Mendoza's been playing it. And it's hard to second guess that when you can see that Diaz is like, no, give me the ball. Results be damned. I'm taking it. And he wants the ball. And if that's your closer, that's the guy you're going to live and die with. Sometimes you live, sometimes you die.
Yeah, and I would imagine they'd be very aggressive with Diaz here in game four because, you had a day off Monday. You didn't use him Tuesday, so he's pretty well rested. I know they've put a lot of miles on that, a lot of miles on that arm this run this last week or two, but a couple days off from, like you said, 6 outs, and maybe it's a situation where, hey, we're facing the top lineup in the seventh. You bring him out for the seventh, the eighth, and then you try to piece the ninth together, whether he starts the ninth or whatever. I wouldn't put anything past him. Anything in these other games, do you think the Yankees, any feel for that series or that game three, Schmidt against former Met Seth Lugo?
Yeah, you know, Lugo's been really good. Maybe not as good as late as what we saw at the beginning of the year for the Royals. You know, that game two, I know that, you know, if you're a Yankee backer, you got to be a little bit disappointed in that. And I know that the talk's going to be about Judge not hitting right now. And that's a real thing. I mean, I know it's small sample size, but guess what? The playoffs aren't a big sample size. Yeah. This is what you get. These are the opportunities you get to be a legend, be a hero. Alonso had his moment against Milwaukee, and look how locked in Pete Alonso's been ever since that home run in Milwaukee. I feel like if Judge can get a hit, then I don't know if it's got to be an opposite field home run, you know, whatever. It just needs to be a big hit. It needs to be a moment where he comes through, and then he'll probably be locked in. That's all it takes for these great hitters, these great power hitters, at least traditionally. But when you haven't had that watershed moment yet, and he hasn't, you know, if you're the Royals, do you keep playing with fire? Do you keep pitching to him? Because right now you do. Until he gets that big hit against you, I think you keep pitching to Judge. If he does get that, Will, I think it's kind of like with Alonso. Look at how locked in Pete is now. Whether it's a strikeout, home run, or walk, Alonso is seeing the baseball so well. Judge needs to be in that Alonso-type rhythm where whether good result, bad result, you know he's seeing the baseball well. And right now I think he's just putting too much undue pressure on himself at the dish.
How about Tigers Gardens? Do you have any feel for this one? It's impossible to even handicap the Tigers because I don't even have a starter listed here. It is Cleveland with Alex Cobb going -112. And boy, Cleveland not have great pitching. Alex Cobb in game three, Matthew Boyd in game two. They're piecing it together. Tigers are the ultimate, you know, kitchen sink game. They'll just mix and match the bullpen. Any feel for this game or this series?
I don't know how you bet against them. I don't. I mean, like, you know, you had the catch that wasn't a catch in my estimation go against them. And they overcome that, get a three-run homer off the best closer in baseball in Clase this year. When you're riding like that, and I know Skubal, you know, you kind of needed to win that game if you're Detroit after the game one. I get the feeling, man, you go back to Motown for 3-4. I don't know if it gets back to Cleveland. I really kind of like the Mets. You feel like if you're Detroit, this is what you want. Even if we got to piecemeal it together, so be it. This is we're playing with house money. It's a free roll for us right now, and we will do that. We will play loose. We're going to play carefree, and we'll, if we have to use the bullpen, overtax them. We don't care because this is our opportunity to win it right now. Look, if it goes back to, you get one, you know you're going to see Skubal in five.
Yep.
Yeah, you're going to see Skubal in five, and that's all they're really going to do. So even if they have to go balls to the wall to get one of these two, you know you're going to get Skubal in five, and that's a great position to be in. I can't bet against Detroit at this juncture.
And we're a long way from there. If it ever is a Mets-Tigers World Series, which, I mean, you can't call it crazy anymore. It's still unlikely, but my goodness, you're talking about historic stuff. I mean, two of the more unlikely runs to a World Series ever, both have happening in the same year with Mets 11 games under June 1st. Tigers was 8 games under middle August, trading their second best pitcher in Flaherty. I mean, you're talking about this is 30 for 30 stuff. This is stuff that, you know, will live forever. It's just stuff you never see if we end up getting this series.
No, and I look, if you're on Park Avenue, if you're a Major League Baseball executive, let's be honest, who do they want to see? They want to see the Yankees and Dodgers. I think that's the first perfect matchup, East Coast, West Coast. Storied rivalries, you know, go back to the 70s, Dodgers,
Otani,
Yankees, that's the first
Judge.
One. Right, Otani Judge, come on. What, you got the MVPs of each league, star of stars. That's the series that they want. You know, I know I wanted as a New Yorker, I want revenge from 2000 Mets-Yankees. Yeah, we're still bitter, Derek Jeter, game one, game three back in Shea, Bobby Jones, first pitch home run.
Timo series Perez.
Right, yeah. So I think Met fans would like to see that. But I don't know outside of the bubble of New York if that's really what Major League Baseball is rooting for. Tigers Mets plays, Yankees Dodgers plays, Padres, you know, like it's weird. They got star power. They really do. They've got baseball star power. Like if you're in the weeds on baseball and the pitching staff they have, they've got stars. And then you got the offensive star, Manny Machado, starting it up by trying to kill Dave Roberts in the dugout. Like, you know, you've got storylines there that can kind of play out. But I still think ultimately they'd like the Mets and or Dodgers in the National League. Yankees, of course, in the American League. And then the Tigers. Sorry, Cleveland. Yeah, you've got the historic angle with the Indians or the Guardians now you can play. But I still think it's Yankees 1 and probably Detroit 2. And then you're going to get to the Clevelands and Kansas Cities of the world.
Any reaction to Salah getting fired with the Jets? You think it matters? You think it doesn't matter? But what are your thoughts?
I think it matters big time. To me, it's like I looked at their number plus 325 to win the division, and I didn't know you liked them in the summer. I like the Jets a lot more today than I did in London. I think that's a totally playable number at 325. I'm going to look to adjusted win totals now. I'm not saying that this is going to make Aaron Rodgers play better, but here's what I do know. They like this guy that's replacing him as the D coordinator, moving up Albrecht. It seems like, if you remember the Hard Knocks, the guys resonate with him. I felt like Salah was kind of dead man walking. It was a weird vibe. We saw the push off with Rodgers. I don't know if he lost the locker room. It's hard for me to say for never being in the locker room, but I do feel like this is going to be a boost, at least short term. And I think they're in play to win this division with the Bills. Who do the Bills scare? They don't scare anybody anymore. And you're one game back, play them on Monday night. You win that game, you're tied in the division. I think plus 325 is a great number to grab right now.
Yeah, we've seen this. And I'm a little less optimistic just because I was so positive about them in the summer. And it looks a little worse everywhere around. Rodgers a little worse than I expected. Defense is good. It hasn't been great. Hall hasn't been. It's just a lot of things. Like
the running game.
No running game. Rodgers limping around. And that's another thing where, like, it's funny how quick things change. I mean, that Thursday game against the Patriots a couple weeks ago, I know it was the Patriots, but Rodgers looked fresh as a daisy. 2-1, pretty reasonable schedule coming up. You're looking 3-1, maybe 4-1, and off they're going. And then they lose, they miss a kick with against Denver. Now, granted, Denver missed one too, but things have turned quickly. I could see them playing better just because a new coach, and that would put them in first place, and maybe you feel better about them in a week or so. But I guess plus 325 is a good number. I would have liked Hackett to go because they're just not well coached all the way around. I don't know why you kind of took a half measure. All right, Sal is going to go, but Hackett's going to stay. That surprised me a little bit.
Yeah, it did, but you know where that comes from, right? Yeah. That's Rodgers' guy. So if you are going to go after Rodgers' guy, I'm not saying that Aaron said, put the kibosh on it and called in the hit and said, no, my guy stays, he's got to go. But to tell me that the owner, Woody Johnson, meets with Aaron Rodgers privately on Monday night and they don't discuss Robert Saleh and then they fire him Tuesday. I mean, we are led to believe some dumb stories out there, Will. Is that not the dumbest one you've ever heard of? Could you imagine getting together with the owner and the owner not bringing that up at all in conversation and then firing the guy the next day? Come on. Like, what world do we live in? Of course, that was a conversation that was had. And I think this is Rodgers' last stand, too. This puts him out there a little bit. Once you get rid of Saleh, there's no more fall guys. Yep. You've got your guys, the OC, and you're the quarterback. It's got to work now or else it's not going to work.
Yep, totally with you. Do you have a favorite NFL bet for this week or college bet? Take it whatever direction you want to go.
Yeah, I got two NFL plays, and they're Sunday night and Monday night. I'm going to go with the home dogs. I'm buying the Giants at 3.5 against the Bengals because everybody's betting the Bengals. Every week, everybody just blindly bets the Bengals because their offense is so good. You've seen it. You know it. The defense is awful. It's awful. And I know nobody wants to talk about the G-men. They won in the Pacific Northwest without Singletary and without their stud rookie receiver Neighbors. I mean, you got to be kidding me. Danny Dimes is playing better football, and the defense – is playing much better. If they can slow down the Bengals offense a little bit or turn them over like Burrow turned it over. Burrow was great until he had to be good, and then he wasn't good. And he had the killer turnover late against the Ravens. They've had that. That's kind of been a bugaboo for them. I think it's going to be a life or death. Give me the 3.5 at home with the G-man. I think it's a field goal game.
And that guy can coach. Dable can coach, man. I know there's whispers, he's hard to get along with, didn't get along with, the D coordinator last year. And if he has a bad year, you get rid of him. Boy, if you got rid of him, I would think there'd be a handful of teams waiting to scoop him up because he just does a lot with a little. Last year with Danny DeVito to get them, Tommy DeVito get them to whatever, six wins or whatever it was. The year before he's coach of the year. There's not a ton of talent. He just continues to do more with less. And if you re-examine their schedule, I was saying this on my show on Monday. All right, they got killed week 1 to the Vikings. All of a sudden, Vikings are beating everybody. It doesn't look as bad.
Yep.
Week 2, they should have beaten Washington if they had a kicker. That all of a sudden looks really good. They won at Cleveland. They won at Seattle. Yeah, coin flip game against Dallas. This all of a sudden is not that bad of a resume.
Well, I don't know if you know this, but I did take before that Thursday night game against not my Cowboys, our Cowboys, America's team. I took the Giants 50-1 to win the East.
Wow.
And, it was a happy hedge. I'm glad the Cowboys won. But I'll tell you this, that number hasn't moved very much since then. I'm seeing 45-1. It hasn't drifted too much. Still right around that same place. They are two back of the Commanders in a game, like you said, they should have won. You can get that one at home. It's all incumbent upon you beating the Commanders, ironically, in Jersey. And can they not beat the Eagles twice? Can they not at least split with them? Does Dallas really scare you on Thanksgiving? I know Dallas normally always wins that game, but I looked at their schedule and I went, can they beat the, can they win a game like at Seattle? I was like, I'm going to need one of those. And then when they got that Sunday, I went, I'm live. That division is a muddled mess. It is not very good. And I know the Commanders are the cat's meow right now. That defense, I know it's looked good in the last 2 weeks. I'll take my chances with that. And you hate to say it, but the way they play Daniels, you're one hit away from not having that ultimate playmaker. So to me, I'll take a 50-1 long shot on the Giants to win a weak division.
That's, you know, I was just going to bring up that point. Not that I think they're going to win the division, but hey, at 50-1, it's 50-1. And look, you got Mets with the tickets you have on the Mets. I'm not going to sit here and argue with you. And Hurts runs, Daniels runs. I mean, one of those Dak, Hurts, Daniels, one or two of those quarterbacks misses a month, a couple of weeks. Now, look, granted, Jones is injured too, but you're sitting on 50-1. That brings everyone back to the pack. Or who knows? Maybe 9 wins can steal it again. Do I think it's going to happen? No, but at 50-1, I do think the Giants are at least undervalued in terms of, you know, where they are right now.
Totally agree. And look, I don't want to make bets based on, you know, is an injury going to happen, but the style that Daniels plays in DC would worry me a little bit. We saw it with Robert Griffin III. I was there for that in 2012, this revelation. And then what happens late in the year, he gets hurt the rookie year and he was never the same player. I'm not wishing that on anybody. I hope Jaden Daniels is healthy and everything is great. Even with a healthy Jaden Daniels, I don't think that defense is good enough to hold up for the Commanders all year. And I do think 9 wins, if you get me 9 wins, New York, I think they're right there. And then I'm going to look for either hedgeable spots, middles, what have you, with individual games down the stretch at a really good price point here at 50-1.
Dave, appreciate it, man. Last one. Who's in the World Series?
We're going to see you in the Bronx.
Wow.
It's going to be Mets. It's going to be Yanks. It's going to be a redux of 2000. But this time, Metropolitans are flipping the script, baby. And I'm telling you, Kodai Senga, I know it was only 2 innings in game 1 against the Phillies. That gets me excited because that tells me he's going to take the ball again, whether it's if the Mets get by the Phillies against the Dodgers or Padres, and then he's going to take the ball again if they get to the next series, and he's just going to get better, and they can just keep letting him go. I don't care if it's 3-4. By the way, Peterson hasn't even pitched yet. I mean, like, you know, pitched game 1. But that they've got Peterson on layaway, and he's been unbelievable this year for the Mets. The pitching, which we thought would be a weakness without Senga, has become a strength. That's how you win in October.
Dave, you're the best, man. Let everyone know where they can find you.
At DRoss Sports on X. You know I like to mix it up, have a good time in there. So please, people, don't take yourself too seriously because I don't. And, of course, you can always catch me on VSiN on the weekends and or BetUS. If you like MMA, baby, check out BetUS. We do an MMA podcast every Friday, 2 p.m. Eastern on BetUS.
Appreciate the time, Dave. Hopefully we're talking in a week or so about the NLCS or in a couple weeks about the World Series. Thanks for coming on, man.
You know, man, you're the best, Will. Appreciate you, brother.
All right, that will do it. Big day on Wednesday, 4 Major League Baseball playoff games. What a fun time of the year. Thanks to Dave. Thanks for listening. See you guys on Friday.